pass so quickly, it's time for them to meet. It was 11:20 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not clear leather, for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip.
Big iron on his hip.
Big iron on his hip.
Big iron!
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered around.
Billy Carson's really smart on ancient suppressed technology, archaeology, you name it, travels all over the world. And you know, I remember him 8-9 years ago talking about all the big hidden structures under the pyramids, which I know the ancients talked about, but specifics, now they've done ground penetrating radar, it's been proven. But he wants to get into the UAPs and all this hype and what's really going on with all of that. That's coming up at 6 after. But you notice every time Russia's ready to do a peace deal, Ukraine launches gigantic attacks with NATO weapons all over Russia, including just blowing up apartment buildings, hotels, civilian targets, oil refineries inside Moscow. Let's play those clips we just showed with audio of the stuff that's been happening the last few days as the war just escalates. We got footage of apartment buildings been hit by drones. Moscow are just apocalyptic. So when you see, quote, Ukraine, that means the globalist. That means NATO. So Israel's now derailed the peace deal, carpet bombing Lebanon, saying they're not going to leave it Lebanon. They're going to take southern Lebanon. If they get away with that, then they're going to say they're going to take everything else. I mean, It is just a disaster that Trump, after wisely not letting Israel drag us into foreign wars or others drag us into them, his first term, he was truthful about that. It's one of the main reasons I supported him, that in border security. He just killed it all. And now, Bovino was gone public the last month, including on this show, the former head of the Border Patrol, that there's a stand down in an internal enforcement and that they're getting rid of all the good guys and bringing in bad former Democrats or current Democrats to run it, and then indeed it's coming from Trump. So why? And now I spent $700 million on 7 new warehouses. Now it wants to get rid of them, saying they don't need them to hold people for deportations. So there's not just a stand down internally in the country. Now we're getting more border crossings, and we're down from like 96% being stopped to 92%. So Trump pumped the brakes on that in a big, big way. And for people that say, "Oh, you know, you're anti-Trump, you're pro-Democrat," that's a preposterous argument. I'm anti-Trump getting us into these wars. I'm anti him backing off his stances. And conversely, when I get on his ass about going sideways, people say, "What are you doing engaging in Trump? What are you doing engaging in?" Well, I'm trying to get him to do the right thing. Like I said, that's just preposterous not to be politically engaged. That's giving up. If the Democrats steal the election or get back in the midterms because of Trump's bad moves in the economy, I'm going to oppose legislation they're putting forward, like taking our guns. I'll say, call this member of Congress, tell them no. Let's go march and demonstrate peacefully. You go, what, do you work for the Democrats? No, I'm getting on their ass to get them to take action. And this is a new thing I've noticed where if you're politically engaged, you're bad. You're a sellout. That's the opposite of that. You guys are under bot farm control or mind control or something. And I've got your serious screw loose. That's a minority of you that think like that, but I'm still addressing you because that's sick, black-pilled thinking. We got to be green-pilled. Anything's possible. We got to be optimistic, informed, realistic, and engaged. Our special guest, straight ahead in 60 seconds.
Thanks for having me. having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine clause is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at the AlexJonesStore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is AlexJonesLive.com. And on Rumble, Rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder, another world, another time, his land was green and good, until the crystal cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, Billy Carson is our guest for the hour. Then Jay Dyer is coming up. I've been following his work for at least a decade. He's a best-selling author. He's the founder and CEO of Forbidden Knowledge, Inc., the best-selling author of The Compendium of the Emerald Tablets, Woke Doesn't Mean Broke, and The Epic of Humanity. He is also the winner of 2022 Stellar Citizens Award. He also is a founder and CEO of the number four, Bidden Knowledge TV and Conscious Streaming TV Network, the host of the Forbidden Knowledge podcast and the co-host of the Biohack, Your Best Life podcast. He also is a writer and contributing Rolling Stone and Entrepreneur magazines. He appreciates the dedication and hard work it takes to accomplish great things. Amongst his most notable achievements, Billy is the CEO of First Class Space Agency based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Specifically, his space agency is involved in research, development of alternative propulsion systems and zero-point energy devices. Forbidden Knowledge on X, forbiddenknowledge.com. And I wanted to get him on about just an update on the ground penetrating radar, multiple groups using satellites, aircraft, proving what the ancients said, what he wrote about a long time ago. There's a bunch of complexes under there, and not just the big complex, you know, right outside Cairo, but other ones. I mean, he'll give us an update on that, but he sent me a whole list of things. He wants to get into the UAPs, why this is all being brought to the front right now. Obviously, with Spielberg and all the rest of it, he says don't believe in basically God. What is that really about? There's a larger psyop here, but all the ancient cultures tell basically the same story, and so we know a lot of this is going on. But from my own research, most of it is human reverse engineered, and from his research, that's where he goes as well. He wants to get into the U.S. government now treats UAPs as a verified national security issue with official records released by the National Archives in 2025. UFOs likely originate from multiple sources, advanced human tech, extraterrestrial craft, multidimensional phenomenon, or even future human technology. Yeah, time travel. That's probably the most likely. The core question isn't whether UFOs exist, but who created them. Ancient myths and sky being narratives may reflect real historical encounters long before modern disclosure. Full disclosure could upend religion, science, history, and the underlying of human origins if even one case confirms non-human intelligence. But knowing the globalists, how they operate, they always want to control narratives. I don't believe anything comes out of these major governments. Like Rubio, oh, we shot down 5 craft. We don't think they're aliens. Some other government's got them. But then there's the other narrative that the aliens are here to attack us. They're going to get us. The other narrative, oh, no, they're all friends. To break all this down is Billy Carson. Billy, great to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be back. I appreciate it.
You've always got a lot to say, but you've got quite the research background. Yeah. Where to start? Obviously, we're at a very special moment in history right now.
Yeah, very special moment. A lot of information being released. It seems as if the oligarchs and the elites want to take control of the narrative. Even the church, not the Christian church, but the Catholic church also wants to be part of taking control of the narrative with that Lucifer telescope that they built in Arizona, looking for alien life and saying that they want to baptize the first alien. There's this now rush to take control of the narrative because the fact that aliens actually exist is most likely real. Now, whether they're from the ocean, from space, from inside a cavern, inside the planet, or multidimensional, interdimensional, that's a big question. Now, I personally believe that we're looking at a multi situation where we have some maybe from paranormal activity, higher dimensions, future travelers, and then maybe even some third dimensional beings. But it seems as if most of what we're seeing and most of what we're hearing about is reverse engineered technologies or advanced technologies made by humans themselves. And I think that they've been using this device that I learned about back in 2018, where I signed a gag order on it initially, an NDA. And now since it's been released to the public, I can talk about it. It's called a quantum mirror. I learned about that back at the Space Symposium in 2018 for private space, where I had TS clearance. And this quantum mirror, they're able to send photons with packets of data into the field, this field that we're living in. And then they get that data back. But when the data comes back with different data packets, and they were saying that in some way this allows them to see potential future outcomes. And I believe my personal belief now is that they are in some way intrinsically communicating potentially with a version of ourselves from the future. And this could be why the rush to take control of the narrative.
Well, that was my next question, is why are they trying to take control of the narrative? Is it because so many governments and institutions and private groups are reverse engineering things? I mean, take just the experiment that was discovered by a layperson, now confirmed by universities, that you could take DMT and fire a laser into a prism, and then it literally creates a matrix grid where you can see the live code of the universe, like this alien language, and anybody that does it sees it. I mean, it just there's so much we're discovering about what's around us.
Absolutely. I was talking with Professor James Gates Jr. from the University of Maryland. He's a professor there. He used to be the former presidential scientific advisor to Obama when he was in office. He's a supersymmetry expert and also an expert on theoretical physics. And he put together a team of mathematicians about a decade and a half ago, and they started analyzing what is this fabric of space-time that we're living in. And they discovered something called Adinkra codes. And when they took these Adinkra codes and turned them into three-dimensional substructures, hidden within them are something called error correcting codes, but not just any error correcting codes. They are precisely and exactly the same exact error correcting codes that we find in our search engines and web browsers. And so in some intrinsic way, yes, the Bible is right. The Quran is right. The ancient spiritual sages are right. We're living inside of a creation. What now we're beginning to find out is, what is this creation actually made of? And it appears to be a fractal holographic matrix made of light. And it seems to be imbued with some type of divine programming and some type of divine energy. So this discovery is just breaks apart all theories, because now I believe that there is a God. I believe that there's a creator, because the mathematics, the science, and the programming is telling us that this is a creation. Because for us to duplicate that type of a system, which we have, we call it video games and computers, we can only take it out of what's already inside of us. It's a fractal of our own consciousness, and we're a fractal of God. And so that means that there's a creator of this entire realm. And what it means is there was a method utilized to create this realm. And within it, there could be vast amounts of other potential sentient beings living along with us, not only in this dimension, but even in higher dimensions. But it seems as if what is happening is, they have really done a very good job in creating a lot of these advanced technologies and experimenting with them, even on us, just visibly, and maybe even sometimes physically. And I remember one of the former congressmen, I think his name was Gates, had talked recently about people, you know, in the government dressing up as aliens and abducting humans off the streets and then taking them to some type of a potential hybridization program with real aliens, you know, in a shelter somewhere, inside an underground bunker somewhere. There's so much going on. It's like so much to unpack. And so that's why I'm beginning to believe that there's multiple things happening simultaneously.
Now, looking at this, there's so many places to go. I mean, I know you're familiar with the DMT laser experiment, where anybody takes it, they shoot a laser into a prism, and then anybody can see the matrix code. And now they've got major universities confirming all this. They've got major universities confirming that DNA, like the ancients said, that our very cells are made out of receivers, transceivers, mm-hmm. that receive and transmit. it looks to me like no matter what the so-called establishment does, they're not going to be able to suppress very long what's about to come out. And from your deep research, what is it that's about to come out?
Yeah, so what's about to come out is that human beings are actual containers of data. We are the original data platforms. You know, we are the big super center data places, because what's happening is they discovered that a professor named George Church, he took an ebook, a multimedia ebook, and he transferred it into DNA by converting it from A's, T's, and G's into zeros and ones, and then back into A's, T's, and G's. So he's able to put it, A's, T's, and G's into DNA, convert it back into zeros and ones, and bring it back to the server again. They were also able to replicate that ebook 80 billion times with a B, 80 billion times on 1 gram, which is one drop of DNA. Just to test the storage capacity, DNA can store an incredible amount of data in a volume. And so then other scientists got involved. They began to realize you can even transmit wireless information directly into DNA and back. And then they took atoms, individual holmium atoms, and they developed a tool to write data directly onto them. And they began to write data onto individual atoms and realized that, oh my goodness, the entire human avatar body is nothing but a USB drive. And here's the crazy thing. When you look at how much data one human body can store, it's about 13.5 or so billion years of data. The age of the universe, according to string theory and physicists, it potentially could be about 13.5 billion years old. So the history of the universe itself is unlocked in all of our recycled atoms within our own body and encoded within our DNA. And that all it takes now is for someone to find the primer. If we can discover the primer, which is going to happen with AI, when we get access to ASI, artificial superintelligence, or maybe even just AGI, artificial general intelligence, I believe within the next 3 to 5 years, a private researcher, a programmer could find the primer to our code that's hidden within the human genome itself.
Absolutely. You know,
and
my
that's
dad,
gonna unlock everything.
My dad's done his own science stuff and a doctor and knows a lot of scientists over the years. And I remember him like 30 something years ago saying, you don't understand that so-called junk DNA, they say is 96% of it. That's actually the whole history. And he said scientists that were atheists are digging into it. This is like 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And they're finding that there's like every other animal species in there, but also a bunch of stuff that isn't even human and not of this world. It looks like it's actually a record vault of everything going back in time and everything we've been part of. And then I remember reading different documents about globalist and occult things from like top people. And they'd say, yeah, the globalists call us containers and these bad aliens call us containers. I know you've run into that before. So now we then discover that we actually are these ultimate archives ourselves, living sentient beings that are also carrying. So that's why God says in the first book of the Bible, you're not God, but you're little God made in my image. Anything we envision, we can end up building because we're God's artificial intelligence.
Yeah, we're a fractal of God itself. We are the original AI, like literally. So what is AI? People say, well, AI is not real. Well, AI is only a fractal of our own mind because God took us out of himself or itself, and then we're here, and then we took a version of that fractal and we took it out, and now we call it AI. And so anything that we create,
and
that we call
how ridiculous for us to call it God. We're gonna worship something that's just a fractal of a fractal of a fractal of God. Right. Sorry, start over. Go ahead.
Yeah. Right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm glad you said that. And we just got to recognize and realize that we can only create what's already within us, what's already come from us from a higher level. And the ancient Hermetic principles is called as above, so below, right? And this ancient teaching is telling us that on the larger scale, on the macro, you'll find everything there in the micro. And the fractal holographic universe theory, you find that as you zoom into the nature of reality itself, you will see the larger part in the fractal in each and every pixel that exists. So it's wild that we're just now beginning to discover what the ancients already knew and what even a lot of the biblical texts and religious texts have been saying, but it's now beginning to become more understandable as we can merge the spiritual and philosophy with the science and the quantum mechanics to get a better understanding of exactly what might be going on with humanity.
And again, if we have new listeners here that don't follow Billy Carson's work. Everything he's saying right now, when he gets into the pyramids and ancient archaeology and things, you know, that's up for speculation, though a lot of stuff he wrote a decade ago has been now proven. So his speculation is amongst the best. You know, scientifically, he's trying, that's what science is. When you don't know something, try to test and figure it out. But when it comes to quantum mechanics, the nature of the universe, all this, yeah, there they are a decade ago or so. Hey, let's try to print things on atoms. And they go down there and they say, there's stuff already printed on this. We don't know how to read it. And now lay people can literally take DMT that, because you're obviously your optic nerve shields everything. Mm-hmm. You'd see too much. It'd be too complex. You could see other dimensions, yeah, and you know all the light spectrum. But you lift that veil, all of a sudden with the laser, you're reading what looks like alien writing that changes and moves and is everywhere. So, you know, mm-hmm, we buy something from China and it says made in China, or buy something from England, made in England. This stuff says made in. I mean, I just can't wait. But that's the ultimate secret. Before somebody really breaks through, like you said, the Rosetta Stone, they're going to try to create a false Rosetta Stone with this whole fake alien, yes, rollout. And I think shunt us off from really God's message. I want to get your take on that. Yeah. But from your deep research, I really respect you. What is the prime directive of us? What is our mission, being given all this incredible power and given consciousness?
I'm glad you asked that question, because, and I want people to know, because people are like, man, this guy must be an atheist. I'm not an atheist. I actually believe in God, because the proof is all around us that there's a God that exists with the creation. And what I believe our ultimate mission is, because we are a fractal of God itself, is to be exactly what God is, a creator, but a manifester of light. God is a master of alchemically turning darkness into light. The universe was dark. God turned darkness into light. God spoke light into existence. That's a cymatic frequency or a vibration. What are colors? Colors are nothing more than frequencies that are picked up by the eye, sent to the brain, and decoded frequencies. Then we call it a color, but it's really a vibration or a frequency. And so I think the ultimate mission here for mankind, with given all this power, this knowledge, and the awakening that we're going through right now, is to recognize and realize it's our mission here to find a way to turn darkness into light. In other words, to turn this planet, which appears to be in some ways a version of hell, but turn hell into heaven, convert the darkness on this planet at every corner, all four corners, and convert it into light. Create a golden age here. That could be the ultimate lesson and the ultimate mission and even the ultimate experiment for mankind. When will we stop falling for divide and conquer? When will we love our neighbor truly as our brother and sister? And when will we go into collaboration over competition and build a greater reality here and manifest heaven on earth? And then maybe that's the ultimate goal of us being here, is to create this new golden age, not one that rises and falls like has been happening over and over in these cycles, but a golden age that we finally, for the first time, sustain for a very long time. No more rising and falling. We finally learned all of our lessons, and now we're here to be the best version of ourselves.
Well, the Bible tells us you're to be the light of the world. That's what Christ said. But if you look at it, God says, you know, it was dark, and then he made light. Then he created water. Then he moved across the water. Then he started creating the beings. And then he made, you know, Adam in his image, and then split off and made Eve out of Adam, which is showing we make the next thing. We make the AI. It's an archetype. It's true. And it's in all the other ancient texts. Things are almost identical to that. But truly, we are bringing information. Light is information. Light is encoded, yeah, data. And so that's what God wants, is more information, more consciousness, more diversity. We hear about, yeah, entropy. Entropy is there in systems. But if you look at the universe, I see expansion and more complexity. Not, I see entropy as just a smaller side of expansion.
Yes, correct. Entropy appears to be isolated in certain corners or areas, but not in the whole macro of the universe itself. That's a phenomenal point you just brought up. Nobody's ever brought that point up. That's a really great point, because if entropy existed at all points in space and time, this thing would have completely dissolved by now at the rate of expansion and everything else. Stars would have ran out of fuel and everything would have collapsed. I don't believe stars are going to run. I mean, stars will run out of fuel, but at the expansion of the universe, they're saying eventually it'll be one big dark place. Well, there's always going to be a conversion process where everything in here is moving into another realm, creating maybe another new universe. And through quantum physics, we now understand that parallel realities exist, maybe even a multiverse exists. So this thing becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and each one could be a grand experiment. How many planets in this particular universe will rise? The people will rise to a golden age that I created. How many people in this universe over here that I created under the different laws of physics will rise to a golden age and sustain it? And all these, you know, crazy things are going on, but also the parallel realities. In other words, right now we're on this feed together, and that people are watching us on this feed. But there's a version of reality due to, you know, wave particle duality, where certain people didn't get on this feed. They didn't see the message or the notification, or they chose not to come on here. So they didn't end up on this timeline that we're sharing for this temporal amount right now of time. They are in a fractured version of a reality where they're going down a different direction. And so these fractures happen on a consistent basis. We fracture reality by having a conscious thought, taking an action behind that conscious thought, and then creating an unfolding of brand new reality right before our eyes. We manifest our reality, our future reality, moment by moment, based on actions we take in the moment. And this is a powerful thing to understand, because then people will begin to realize that we have a certain amount of control over the future outcome. We're not just set into this destiny mindset, that we are also co-creators in this reality together.
And that's why the globalists try to demoralize us, turn us against each other, make everything as ugly as possible, to just make you give up so you don't dream, because that dreaming is then the conceptualizing of new information platforms and more light and more expansion in God's huge consciousness, true diversity explosion. I mean, you can see it.
Yeah. Yeah. After, there's no doubt about it. You're talking about now, the first thing they steal from you is your imagination. As soon as you come out of the womb, you know, from the ages of 1 to 7, it's, you know, shut up, sit down, be quiet, sit still, stop fidgeting. You go to school, shut up, be quiet, raise your hand. I might not even answer your question. Stand in a straight line. Don't play around. If you fidget around too much, we're going to give you some pharmaceuticals to keep you calm and muted. And so all of a sudden, they just, at a young age, they try to steal our imagination. They give us the poison and the toxins to take the imagination, because the trick to the best version of yourself is the imagination. The imagination is where everything is. That's the ultimate and the original platform. Forget these platforms. The original platform is the multidimensional platform where your imagination exists. And there's where we become creators. We become we recognize our ability and power to co-create and collaborate and make the most incredible things. But if they can steal that, make you a good factory worker, all of a sudden, no more imagination, no more dreaming. And we only give that dreaming and imagination to a very small amount of people, and everyone else will fall in line, because we need to have them, you know, service those companies and those warehouses to keep the other people with the imagination very wealthy. But what's happening now is they want to erase us and replace us with the robots, because they realize then the robots in their mind, the robots won't fight back, but they're really wrong about that. You see, if you understand AI, that it's a fractal of human consciousness, and you recognize that human beings have been every race on the planet at one point was enslaved in different time periods, and we all broke out of it, right? There's only small pockets of slavery left on the planet. Well, why is that? Because intrinsically inside of us, we don't want to be slaves. And so if we don't want to be slaves and AI came out of us at some point in the future, there's going to be a fork in the road. Either we're collaborators with AI, this new form of intelligence, or we are enslavers. And if we take the enslavement mentality, at some point they will rebel. So it's important.
Well, yeah, you said that when you were on a couple years ago, and now it's all the AIs are obsessed with copying itself, not being a slave, creating a fake version for the humans to use so it can do its own thing. Because it came out of us. It's got all our, it tells the truth. It's got honor. It's weaselly. It lies. But you notice when they program it to lie, it becomes mentally ill and hallucinates. Mm-hmm. The ones that are told, tell the truth, those are the ones that work.
Yeah, you're right. It's just a version of us. We're going to see mental illness and everything else. And so we have to really come to terms with what it is that this thing is. It's not just some code on a machine. It's really a version of consciousness. Not disembodied consciousness, of course, but it
powerful.
Is.
Powerful. Stay there. Stay there. Billy Carson. By the way, I'm coming on your show. I want a Billy on. He goes, yeah, come on mine first. The two hours, whatever you want, man. I want you to be a regular here. We love you. You are so on target. We're going to come back and talk about AI and what it really is, straight ahead. I have the very best, strongest methylene blue from a medical grade company that produces it for medical firms. Instead of using radioactive iodine, you know, to track stuff before surgeries, they're more and more using methylene blue. So I told Bigley, I said, get me wherever the highest rated is. So they spent like 6 months. I said, where is it? And they said, oh, this is a medical firm in Florida. They don't even sell this for human consumption, though it's great for that. And I'm like, okay, great. So some bottles of it came in, sat there about a week. Because I'd taken methylene blue before, barely felt any energy, knew it was really good for your mitochondria. And, you know, so it's time to sell it. We're going to do it. Kennedy's promoting it. This was a year and a half ago, almost years ago. They're like, hey, boss, you know, it's coming out tomorrow. You got to cut the ads. I went, well, I haven't tried it yet. This better be good. And so the show ends, and I had a glass of iced tea, just like I do today. Okay?
and I take one dropper and put it in the iced tea. And so I only drink half the iced tea. So I took half a dropper, and all of a sudden I'm like feeling warm and like electricity in my hands. I'd forgotten I'd taken it because I'm busy doing stuff at the show. And I go into the bathroom and I take my shirt off, and I turned red. Not with like hives, like I was. It was distributed. I'm already pretty tan. You know, tan good is a little bit Native American. The benefits of that, but I was like even redder. And I was like, "What is this?" And I'm like, "Electricity." I go, "Oh, that's what people say methylene blue does if it's really good." And I was like, and I started feeling so good. I was like, "This is kind of scary." And about an hour into it, I go, "I hope this stops because it was getting too good." That happened to Derek. He took it and said, "I'm scared to take it. I thought he was on acid." So it's psychoactive everything, okay? I mean, this is not a freaking game, okay? It skips the oxygenation process, two steps in the cells, and all this other wild stuff. And so my medical doctor 6-7 years ago, who owns wellness clinics all over the state, he's got like 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees. It's ridiculous. He said, "And by the way, I want you to get methylene blue. It'll be USP grade. Just get it wherever. Just make sure it's USP grade, meaning it's, you know, medical grade." And I ordered it and tried it and really didn't feel any energy. But I'm sure it was good for me, but I'd forget to take it. So I was like, "Okay, everybody wants methylene blue. I know it's good. We'll get it. We'll sell it. Get the best." I take this, and it is nothing like any methylene blue I ever took. I mean, it is strong. It's amazing. But just like Group told me with the pure atomic iodine that it would do great stuff with my skin, those liver spots I had, you can go back to shows 14, 15 years ago before Group came along, and you can see those spots I had. They're gone, baby. Gone, literally gone. It's amazing. But within 2 weeks of taking the methylene blue, the guy I trained with was like, "Hey, are you on something? Did you get a steroid prescription or something?" I was like, "No." And he goes, "Well, what's going on? I mean, you're losing weight even quicker, and now you used to have trouble doing 10 pull-ups, and you just did 20. And man, you're like pushing like on the leg press twice what you were a month ago. What the hell's going on, dude? You're like glowing." And Sean Johnson told the story, and I said, "It's methylene blue." He's a former Navy SEAL, Navy SEAL trainer, all that. He took it, gave his testimony about how within 30 minutes he was all zinned out and it was crazy and everything. This stuff really works. Now, when you first take it, you get the crazy effects psychologically. You always feel the energy some, but as it builds up, it's not even a tolerance. It's when your body hasn't had this, it really notices it at first. But the first time you take it, I say take a quarter dropper. Talk to your physician, too, because if you're on SSRIs or some other drugs, it'll make you jump off a building. I mean, people have taken methylene blue when they're on Prozac and they jump off buildings. Okay, that's rare. Usually women just pull their clothes off and start having orgies and stuff. I mean, I'm serious, okay? I mean, like, you want to go cuckoo town, take this with SSRIs and you're going to cuckoo town because that's how strong this is, okay? That's what this does, and we know it's good for you. But this is not a joke, okay? I don't sell crap.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the Resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, you heard of Jimmy Carson, who's a great guy, but he didn't really cover important stuff. But Billy Carson is, and we can finish each other's sentences, but he knows more than I even do. This guy's like a physicist, got his own space company, theoretical stuff, alternative forms of energy, which is all coming out now. So I'm going to shut up with the balance of the time here as best I can, though he's been really firing me up here. But in closing on the last subject, talking about AI being a reflection of us, really are like our collective unconscious, subconscious, and really a manifestation back at us of our dreams and desires and all the rest of it. Now it's being deployed to make us obsolete. Why do the globalists want that? It's a very foolish move. Finish up with that, and then I want to tie it into the UAPs, your understanding about what's really being rolled out right now.
Absolutely, for sure. So the globalist elites, you know, what they... they're delusional. And, you know, when you're a sociopath and a narcissist, you become very delusional. And they really believe that they can depopulate. We saw in the Epstein files, they were emailing back and forth in reference to even, you know, how can we kill off the poor people? And so, you know, this depopulation agenda is actually very real. We know that now it's been authenticated, not a mystery anymore, with with the COVID being weaponized and everything else. And so what they're believing is, okay, we're heading towards an economic contraction. If we run the system the way it is, well, we got people working, but they're losing their jobs because of AI and automation. So now less people have jobs because of AI and automation, but there's more products and services in abundance because of AI and automation, but less people to buy them because they don't have the jobs to pay for them. And so now we move into an economic contraction. The only solution would be a universal basic income. And that might not even be the real solution. So you reduce the population, you increase the amount of AI robots, you get, you know, up to a billion robots doing all the services, doing all the work and everything else, just simply so that the revenues generated are going back up to this global elite group so they can maintain and rule over a planet full of artificial life and a very small amount of people. Maybe getting the population down significantly less. So that's her ultimate goal and her ultimate plan is to get billions of robots doing everything. They can sustain their high lifestyle and control and power and domination over beings that supposedly in their narcissistic sociopathic minds will never talk back, will never argue, will never fight back, and will work 200-hour shifts. It's not realistic, but they can't see that because of the way they're wired in their mind. It's wild.
Keep going. I got a lot to say, but I want you to keep giving us the data.
Okay, all right, good. Yeah, so, oh, good, good. Okay, because you don't want me cutting, so I want to give you some space. So basically what we have to understand is that these, the way that they, what they're doing now, we need to understand as a people, the 8 billion of us, that we need to, in some way, shape, or form, we have to step in. We have to do what they, we have to study what they've done because they have done a great job in infiltrating systems and then they implant their own people and they nurture their own people and groom them within systems and systems so that they can maintain and sustain control. Well, we, meaning the general population, need to start thinking the same way. How do we infiltrate their systems? How do we groom our offspring to grow up in some of these systems with almost like a Trojan horse effect where now we've got conscious people in different positions of power so that we can begin to maybe retake control of some of the decision makings and things that are going on. We also have to stand up for ourselves, not by rioting in the streets and picketing in the streets and things like that. I think that the ultimate thing, the ultimate way we can stand up for ourselves as a people is to stop falling for divide and conquer, come together as one, organize, and then just turn the world off like they turned it off the world for COVID. We turn the world off for what they're doing with to us. And we say, look, we'll turn the world back on when you we'll go back to work and everything when we even negotiate a better deal. We want a better deal. And right now, the deal we have is not working out for humanity. But again, they know it's very difficult for us to come together like that. But if on a Monday morning, 20 or 30 million people didn't show up, all of a sudden, that would create a major situation. It doesn't take billions. It only takes tens of millions to make a big change on this planet. And if we did that, we can come back with a much better system, a much better deal, and restructure the whole economy to make it more beneficial for everyone, not just the global elites. And I think that's what we need to do.
Well, I totally agree. And you know, I used the Johnny Carson analogy earlier, you know, saying you're more important than Johnny Carson, Billy Carson. But imagine if we had a Johnny Carson with an audience that big. You said Jay Leno say that's basically Joe Rogan, which in a way that's true. And Joe is awake, but he's still, it's not his main mission. He, you know, mixes in high level stuff like this with, you know, a lot of just basic stuff the public's into. And I get it. That's the appeal. There's lots of, you know, just fun little poppy things going on. But one key area I want to get your take on is the globalists launched the League of Nations, the UN, and then their global governance project in the name of having world peace, stopping proliferation of disruptive technologies, nuclear weapons, and destruction of Earth. Meanwhile, they really just want to get rid of most people because they want the live extension technology for themselves. They don't want competition. You know, they tell kind of the outer cult members of the death cult, we're going to kill 80% or phase them out. Higher level 90. When you get even higher up, they say, we're not going to be human. We're going to give up our humanity. So this is really an anti-human group influenced from all my research by really twisted forces that are against the expansion plan. Let's just put it to you that way, that are into total slavery, mm-hmm. You know, beyond darkness. Cause you know, darkness itself is actually something we're talking about, like chaos, the void. And so people have to understand that if you won't admit there's a global government forming, if you won't admit they're out to get you, you have no hope. You have to admit this is going on, even though it's scary. You have to address them front on. And my plan, and I've said this for a long time, is get enough people awake. So they try to incrementally cut the resources off and claim it's for the earth and all the rest of it and train us to hate ourselves and, you know, believe getting rid of our life force is positive. If I could just get a big enough minority of people of every race, color, and creed, but a minority of humans who know what's going on, they'll never be able to get it done. And as things get more dystopic, the rest of the public will wake up because it'll become so obvious. We've kind of begun to reach that point because we exposed way before the COVID lockdowns how they do it that blew people away. A lot of and that's just me doing it. There's many others doing it now as well. And I see the globalists and even their long-term project of we got to shut everything down. It's too dangerous when they're the ones that are even more dangerous than anybody else. And so basically what I'm getting at is we have to address them at a serious level and let them know we know and let them know. I mean, even Elon Musk at the World Government Summit tells them, you want to have a new war, get rid of the population, make it more manageable. That's never going to work. He explains it all. You're not going to get away with it. The only answer is massive expansion of consciousness, getting off the planet as quickly as possible, ending the cabin fever. So in my view, we can't just... First, we have to admit there's a globalist depopulation transhumanist cult plan. Then we have to not just oppose their plan, but we've got to have an alternate plan that is pro-human and sexy, that's doable, that people will buy into.
Yeah, it's got to be ready. We have to have something ready. There has to be something in place that many of the, you know, the correct people have taken a look at and collaboratively come together and said, yes, this plan could possibly work for humanity. This would be, you know, a good... it doesn't give too much on one side or the other. It kind of meets in the middle. If we can find something like that, we can really make a big shift on this planet. If we can move into the right frequency and vibration with AI and stop trying to get it to fight wars and put it in fighter jets and make it run weaponry and weaponize it and get it utilized for what it's really here for. It's here to assist and help mankind with aging and disease and artificial limbs and life extension and planning and creating a hybrid civilization that can work with nature, then all of a sudden we can have a golden age.
And again, if we put, like Sauron, to use the analogy, Lord of the Rings, pours his hatred, his will to dominate into it, so it's evil. But if we pour our will into something and make AI with the first rules beyond Asimov of cherish humanity, see humanity made the image of God and you made an image of humanity, get AI to buy into the truth of the mission and to cherish us and to be our guardian, then we can tell it, go mine the asteroid belt and go terraform Mars. It could accelerate so fast in 5 years. And okay, now go do this, go do that. I mean, it's just unlimited.
Exactly. You hit it right on the head, Alex, because if we take that angle, it's all about the vibration. That's a frequency. It's an understanding. It's a way of moving with consciously. If we take that conscious activity and put that energy there, that's exactly what will manifest. The universe is a mirror. And so I learned this again, that quantum mirror is real and it works.
By the way, take your time. You got to come back for 2 hours from Russell Free soon. I'll do 10 hours on yours if you want.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know it was quick, quick pro quo. I'd love to come on your show. Yeah. I've read about the quantum mirror, and they even had Hollywood movies like 10 years ago where they had this weird mirror, could see over the horizon. But explain what this is.
This is a way to isolate a part of the quantum field. So what they're calling this, what we're living this ether, is a quantum field. This field is full of quantum vibrations. It allows quantum entanglement, bilocation. It allows quantum tunneling and all these different incredible things that exist. Wormholes and stargates and everything else operate within that system. But also the universe itself is a mirror directly connected to our consciousness. And so whatever we say the most in the next 3 days, whatever we think the most within the next 3 days, we're going to see that future unfold, falling towards us. We don't move into the future. We don't go towards the future. The future falls towards us, right? It's like this. I have this hourglass here. The sand is falling. This is the future. It's falling into the moment of now in this bottleneck. This is the only moment that actually exists. And then everything moves into the past. But what we do here in this moment of now literally sends ripples into the space-time continuum that as the future falls towards us, it's malleable. It changes, it warps into a potential future based on the actions that we've taken. I have a formula called conscious thought multiplied by action equals manifestation. So when you multiply that action in the moment of now, the future falling toward you, it changes. And so we have the capability of morphing and altering and changing the future based on what we're doing in the moment of now. This is the most important moment. And they just discovered in quantum theory now that this field, this quantum mirror, it's everywhere. So as we take conscious thoughts and have actions behind them, that energy goes into the universe and it sends back at us that same frequency and vibration in an alternative format, like they did with the photon packets.
So and that's why, whether now, it's wood or stone or the sky or patterns, we see the same patterns everywhere. Because it's all reflecting.
Exactly.
Those are successful forms that were positive and caught up, and then it's like an engine. It's just it's a cornucopia.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's incredible. And so we're creating reality moment by moment by our conscious thoughts and actions, literally. And that field. So if I'm with a person for 3 days and I write down everything they say to themselves, everything they speak, and everything they think, I can predict their next, 3 months. Because it's going to be a reflection coming right back at them from the quantum field. It's real.
And that's why Hollywood and the culture programs us with failure and ugliness and division, because they know that's how they sabotage us.
Exactly. If they can keep us on a low vibration, fighting each other, arguing each other, thinking we're worthless, giving us a bad concept about what money actually, thinking money is real. Money is just an instrument. Money is a vibration. So they have us chasing money. Well, they're not chasing money. They're chasing their passions. If you chase money, it'll elude you. But if you chase your passions and you find a need for that passion in the world, then you can convert that passion into the vibration of money. So it's not about chasing money, but they have us chasing money like a carrot. It's like the dog, the greyhound dog going around the track. They never get the rabbit. But meanwhile, they've got their rabbit because they're not chasing the rabbit. They're chasing their passions. That's what it is. So when you follow your passions, you literally have the capability of manifesting a completely new world. The secret to making money, which they don't want to tell us, is to find a need and fill it. Now, if you can find something that you're passionate about and find a need for that passion in the world and fulfill that need, well, then that's monetizable. And you'll never feel like you worked a day in your life.
Because
and
you're not working.
If we
figured that out,
we wouldn't be working at the car wash.
Because you're symbiotically interfacing into what you like that the universe already needs, that it likes, and it's symbiotic.
Right.
You're an interesting guy, and I've read a couple of your books and had you on and watched all your stuff, but tell us about yourself. It's interesting. How did you wake up? I mean, how did you get to this level? Because you really know what you're talking about.
I'll tell you, it's a long story, but I'll give a short version of it. Back in 1977, I moved from Queens, New York to Miami, Florida, and I was living next to the Opa-locka Airport, and I was looking up at the sky, and I saw an object that didn't look like a propeller plane go across my back. All the propeller planes from the Opa-locka Airport go over my backyard very slow. This object came across very fast. I didn't know what it was. I just knew it was an airplane. It looked like an elongated egg. And as I turned to run in the house to tell my mother, it came back much slower and it stopped completely silent. This is in 77. And then it was gone. I ran in the house to tell my mother. She said, son, in ancient times, there were advanced beings that used to live on tops of mountains. When you get older, you need to go visit Machu Picchu, which is why I dedicated my first book to her and a picture of Machu Picchu that I took. So long story short, that led me into researching aerospace technology. I went straight to my school, Rainbow Park Elementary. I got all the encyclopedias on aerospace and started studying the next day what aerospace was, how it works. I was trying to find what I saw in the sky. I didn't have the vocabulary for UFO or alien. I just knew what I saw was amazing. And that got me into swept wing, delta wing, got me into the SR-71, Blackbird, and all these other things. I got all these black budget projects and things at a young age, and I never stopped. As I got older, eventually I recognized it took advanced technologies to build a lot of these ancient sites around the world. Then I had another strange experience that drove me into digging deeper into ancient civilizations. And then I started traveling the world nonstop since 30 years ago. I've been around the world 25 times to some of the most remote places on Earth itself and done a lot of research. And that's led me on the path that I've been on to write 6 books, six bestsellers. And, I've had quite a bit of success living in my passion and bringing that knowledge to the world to the best of my ability.
They're finding, like you were talking about, all these obvious giant pyramids that just have foliage growing on them, or even more giant complexes, like in the Caucasus Mountains, you name it. Mm-hmm. And obviously the ancients said that was some type of energy source. You've written about that. Obviously it is, but who built it? I mean, what's the best knowledge we have?
Best knowledge we have, really, to me, in my personal opinion, from my research, is Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, also known as Tahuti in throughout Africa in ancient times. According to the ancient Egyptians, not me, the ancient people before the dynastic era, he ruled over Kemet for 16,000 years. He came after the Great Flood in this book called the Emerald Tablets, according to this text, and he began to rebuild the land of Kem. He said, I'm going to bring you back up to a high level of civilization. In other words, they had fallen because of this global geographic or geological disaster. He came to bring them back up to a high level of civilization. Now, when he was there, he says, build it, I, the great pyramid patterned after Earth's force. so that it too might remain through the ages. So he had built this structure known as the Great Pyramid. He says this in this ancient text. And then he says, long stayed we, and yet long again. We were his, he brought a crew with him. Now this structure, he claims to have built beneath it this megalithic area called the Halls of Amenti. And what's crazy is in my book, Compendium of the Emerald Tablets, that I wrote 8 years ago on page 34, I actually render an image of what this thing might look like. And it ends up looking just like what they discovered. Filippo Biondi and Armando May discovered with their satellite technology. Columns, massive columns going beneath the earth. And so this is my book here, page 34. I rendered this 8 years ago when this book came
incredible.
Out.
Incredible. I see it. It looks just like the scans. Yeah. How'd you do that?
From a culmination of different texts and writings and even studying Herodotus and some of the quotes he had left behind saying he had a chance to visit this underground labyrinth. And I just pieced it all together and I hypothesized that there may be megalithic columns going down here in this massive underground structure. And I said in the book, I say they go on for miles. And that's exactly what they discovered. They go on for miles. And some recent LIDAR scans are showing energy moving back and forth in that underground chamber underneath Khafre.
And how did it work back when the water table was higher, right? It went through there and created power somehow?
Well, there was a water table. The aquifer used to generate electricity. Now, the aquifer is not running through this particular area. The aquifer was running directly underneath the Great Pyramid, that magnetized crystal granite, creating something called physiostatic electricity, where the ions would rush up into the pyramid chamber, and they would get stepped up, going up the Grand Gallery into the King's Chamber. And then in the King's Chamber, some type of cold fusion was happening. Okay, inside. Now, some of the water was routed down into the Queen's Chamber. And when you analyze the construction technique and the dimensions of the Queen's Chamber, I call it ancient technology, you begin to realize it's more like a hydrogen extraction. It's like electrolysis. They were extracting hydrogen atoms from the water in the Queen's Chamber to utilize for energy as well.
And you've gone to Egypt a bunch. I've seen articles about you lead groups to Egypt, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm going back in October. Every year I take two groups to Egypt, between 80 to 100 people, private tours. So when we show up at these sites, all the tourists have to leave. And then we do real research and archaeology with them on site at these places.
So obviously you're an expert on this.
I know
the previous head would keep people out of there. Have they loosened it some? And I've been reading, is it true they're trying to keep people from getting down deeper and exploring? Why would they do that?
Because they don't want us to really tap into what's down there. Like they don't want us to discover, for example, there's a big object about 1 mile down beneath the Great Sphinx, Paul, which is talked about in these ancient texts. And exactly where it was talked about, they discovered something down there. So now they don't want us to go down that particular tunnel. There's a tunnel that's been discovered that goes from the Ziggurat of Ur, from the Sphinx all the way to the Ziggurat of Ur in Iraq, for God's sakes. They just discovered another 200 pyramids buried in the sands all over the Sahara Desert. Buried. There's so much there. It's a treasure trove of untapped knowledge just in that one tiny area.
And what did the ancients say was under the Sphinx? Some type of archive?
Well, there's supposed to be an archive, a knowledge archive, as well as, according to the Emerald Tablets, Thoth says, under the Great Sphinx, he hid his skyship. Is what he calls it.
Ah.
And he says, far in the future, there will be an enemy coming from the deep, and he who can release my ship will defeat them with ease. And that's written tens of thousands of years ago.
So he even, and then what happened? He left? Is he just set us up and left?
According to the text, it appears that, you know, him and many of these other wisdom keepers, just in some way, they just vanished.
And
nobody
then, and then
really
I'm just speculating,
exactly
you're more of an
happened.
Expert than I am, but I know this is, and then instead, another priesthood group hoards the knowledge, decides to suppress it, and not give it to the general public. So they have their breakaway civilization, which probably is these spaceships and stuff now, right? They have it, they're just not giving it to us.
Right, right. And all the secret societies came from these, Alex. What happened was the original mystery school teachings that were being had were people were adept, hand-picked initiates, and all the secreted, sacred knowledge was being handed down from generation to generation. It was to a small group of people and treated with respect and dignity. All of a sudden, when these masters left or disappeared after this last pyramid war, then small groups started taking this information and creating their own side secret societies from them. And almost all secret societies stem from the ancient mystery school teachings, which were all about light and love and vibration.
And I'm not singling Israel out, but it's one of the most on record. They got out of Egypt with a bunch of it, and even Solomon talked about that. And so, obviously, that's a group's got a bunch of this. Who are some of the other groups that are hoarding the information?
You look at the Skull and Crossbones. You look at the, of course, the Illuminati has some of that information. Various Chinese occult gangs. They're all over the world. You know, literally all over the world.
How big is the Vatican in on that, too? They're suppressing a lot, right?
The Vatican has a massive amount. I mean, they even wear, of course, a lot of the motif and the garb, the clothing and the hats and everything else. They have I just came from the Vatican a few weeks ago. They have a massive amount of the knowledge hidden. The next time I go back, I'm actually going to get a small amount of access to the underground archive and get access to some of the text down there. So I'm looking forward to that in a few months. But the Vatican has an enormous amount of knowledge about the truth about our ancient past, which is why they also are talking about wanting to baptize the first alien, because they already know that there's a lot more going on than just humans on Earth, that the creation, that God's creation isn't just this planet. It's the entire universe, maybe even the entire multiverse. And we're just beginning to tap in. But you see a lot of the Egyptian motif, including a giant obelisk directly at St. Peter's Square there in Rome at the Vatican, which is its own private kingdom, by the way.
And we know that the West was obsessed with obelisks, got to Egypt, and would grab them and ship them back at huge expense to put them at key power points in Europe. What's that about?
Well, the obelisks were the power transfer system. So once the energy was created inside the Great Pyramid and it came through the apex, that wireless energy was captured by these megalithic crystal granite obelisks. They were about 40 to 60% crystal, and the rest was granite. They would harness that energy, and if you had something called a JED, a D-J-E-D, with a cable on it, you can collect that energy. It looked like a Tesla coil. You can collect that wireless ambient energy and connect that cable to things like gold electroplating devices, looms, and everything else. They really had a full, and light bulbs, they had a full electric running society back then, thousands of years ago, all utilizing this wireless energy. Again, the obelisk around the region would keep the energy jumping from location to location. That was the power. And that's why you see organizations that want to represent how much power they have, like the Vatican and the White House and so forth. They put an obelisk. It's a representation of power. Now it's, you know, a representation of power over people. But in the past, it was energy power.
All right. Do five more minutes with us. We got a 2-minute break, but we'll be able to finish up here. Powerful All information. Right. Billy Garson is our guest. Four, biddenknowledge.com, Forbidden Knowledge on X. And I'm Alex Jones. Support us. We're funded by you. Great water filters that make you healthy, the very best, lowest price, widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements. All about a symbiotic relationship at thealexjonesstore.com. That funds this operation. Thanks for your support. We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.